All right, 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. Also, later on this hour, we'll fill you in on what occurred in Springfield.
There's a lot
the game.
Still left. I only have one thought left on
the Chinese
the buffet
food
and the
discussion.
Chinese food conversation. Mm. I don't like when Drew says China buffet. I don't like the way
Wait,
that
he
sounds.
Said, what?
He has multiple times, instead of saying Chinese buffet, he said China buffet.
It's because
I don't like it.
The reason
I don't like the way it sounds. I borderline feel like we can't say it.
The reason
we should stick to Chinese buffet.
The reason why I call it that is because there was a place, the place that was like 5 minutes from where I grew up was called Super China Buffet. It was bomb. It was very good.
But you were just like, does everyone go to a China buffet? And I'm like, I don't like the way that sounds.
It's a Chinese buffet that was called China buffet.
God,
so that's why I call it China buffet.
There's a couple suggestions on the text line for you, Drew. You'll find a spot.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Somebody mentioned, I've been, there's an Indian food buffet in Westport at Taj Palace. I've been there.
Okay.
Actually, in the last probably year and a half.
There you go.
Very good.
There you go.
All right.
Who doesn't like, you know, a lot of naan and butter chicken and all that stuff? Do you eat Indian food at all?
I've had it a few times. Some curry. That's about it.
Curry? Okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
Do you like curry, too? I didn't know. I mean, you know, like it's... Flavor profile is different, obviously, different spices and everything.
When we get back to the Springfield stuff, there was a funny moment at the Missouri State campus that I have to bring up.
Oh, yeah. yeah,
wait, something happened to you at the campus, too?
Yeah, he told it. We weren't there.
It's kind of funny.
It was just funny. Drew was walking around campus and overheard something. And it was very college.
Yeah.
I would say. All right.
Let's talk some Chiefs briefly, though. I know we're talking a ton of baseball today, both from Cags and Springfield, and obviously what the Big League Club is doing, three games above 500. But over the weekend, believe it or not, rookie minicamp was going on as well. And Josh Simmons, we all know the backstory here. It's all about the health, all about the injury. You know, Andy Reid was quoted as saying that he's surprised at how well Josh Simmons moved around on the first day at rookie minicamp, which is great. But also, you know, it's one of those where, would Andy Reid have come out and said, you know what? Actually, guys, he showed up. He doesn't look good at all. He actually looks way worse than we thought, and he's not ready. Of course, that was never going to happen. So, yes, it's good. I'm just saying, take it with a grain of salt. I talked to somebody last night at the Sporting KC game, a member of the media that was out at minicamp, and he's like, during the media availability, like he could bend down and touch his toes. You know
sure.
what I mean? Like, that's all you saw. Josh Simmons, the fact that he's out there, sure, but he was watching individual drills, you know? At least where the media was at.
So there were two big takeaways I had for it. One is that he himself had said that they're taking it slow with him, like you said. And then Andy was like, oh, still looking better than I think. And you're like, oh, man, it's May 5th. It's May 5th. I don't think we're going to have an answer to this until what's the first day of Chiefs training camp? July 28th?
Well, it's called July 28th. Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Whatever it is. That is when I think we'll have a firm answer on whether or not Josh Simmons has a real chance this year, because just saying you're surprised at how well he's moving just means he's moving, right? And like, I mean, I understand that that's like a small portion of it, but that doesn't give me the firm answer about whether or not his availability is. And the fact that the Chiefs are already telling him, hey man, be cool. And they have the single biggest safety net. Had they not brought in more, Simmons is going to find a way onto the field
right soon.
But because they gave Moore a two-year contract, which we know is a one-year contract because that's the way contracts work in the NFL. So because they gave him a one-year contract and Juwan Taylor's still making $1 billion for the final year of his deal, there's no incentive to rush. That's the thing that stands out to me. There's no incentive in being like, let's see if we can get Josh Simmons up to speed
by the time July hits. I know what they said after the draft, but pre-draft, the reports coming out were that he would be ready to go by training camp. That doesn't mean he's ready to go May 5th. It doesn't mean he's ready to go June 5th. But by July 28th or whatever, right? 25th, could that be the case? And so, yeah, we're not going to... Ultimately, all this stuff is cool, but this was rookie minicamp where there's 80 dudes out on the field and like four of them are making the team, you know, that are not drafted. Or two of them are making a training camp even. You know what I mean? Like rookie minicamp, there's a bunch of guys and just the reality of the business. There's 60 or 80 of them out there rookie minicamp, right? They're not making teams. So it's so hard to judge anything.
You don't think your guy
minicamp.
Jared Casey's going to make it?
I have no idea. I mean, they've kept a fullback before, but I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure. Great story, though. It is a great story.
Yeah. The Josh Simmons stuff, it's obviously intriguing, and it's probably the biggest story to watch. You and I have said, when camp starts in a couple of months, this will be one of the more intriguing camps because Jalen Royals feels like he could have a role right away. Mm-hmm. Josh Simmons is like, can he start for this team?
Noel Williams can get first team reps possibly right away.
Almost, yeah. On the outside, almost immediately, if they decide to move Trent McDuffie inside more. Then there's the whole Breshard Smith part and like, what's his role and how do they get him incorporated kind of immediately before we even get to the defensive lineman. So again, not an uninteresting rookie minicamp because it does possess a lot of guys who have the potential to impact the team right away. But with Simmons, unfortunately, these early parts are just about.
He even said he's going to spend a ton of.
What's this going
to
look like?
He even said most of minicamp, he's going to be spending more time with the trainers still than anything else, right? He's still going to continue to go through the rehab is not done. He's still in the middle of the rehab process. And so, yeah, let's check back in on it. But rookie minicamp is underway. We'll talk more during the Chiefs Red Half Hour about minicamp, including a name I think we have identified. I think we have identified the name, the player that is going to become this year's Justin Ross, Jody Fortson.
Yeah.
That category. It's very evident already.
Yep. He's identified himself at rookie minicamp. It took all
I'm talking about like the fan social media hype and love, and to be honest, that is sometimes unwarranted.
There's something that those players possess that this player also possesses.
That's right.
So there does seem to be a common theme in what fans, and maybe the Chiefs, because they keep bringing in players like this, like in a player like that. So you're right. We can identify that person during the Chiefs Red Half Hour because it certainly is of note. But that's why. It's because it's like it follows the same vein,
look, it's
same
fun.
System.
Heading into
I don't
camp,
mean to tell you what not to like. Yeah.
Heading into camp, it's camp can be a long 3 weeks or a month or whatever it is, and it's fun to have these cool storylines. Last year, the LRZ thing dominated clearly way too much in hindsight because he didn't do anything. He's in Jacksonville, maybe still, maybe. I don't know.
How much is that autographed helmet going to go for?
That's going to be in the garage sale. We do have a LRZ autographed Chiefs helmet to remember his time in a Chiefs uniform.
I mean, authentic helmet too, man. It's a nice
helmet's
one.
Helmet's badass. Yeah. Can you buff the signature out?
Do you think it's worth more as a helmet than signed
can
by
you, can
Luis
you buff
Reese
the signature
Zammet?
Out and just go up to camp and get it signed by other people?
Dude, it's incredible that Luis Reese Zammet is
LRZ
on a Chiefs helmet. He never made the roster. He's still on the Jags roster.
It still says here, yeah, he's there.
Yeah, I mean, last I checked, he's still floating around with a Jag somewhere. So, got to count for
that
something.
That was a fun 3 months, 2 months.
That was last year's player, so we can talk about that in a minute. When we get to that in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, trust me, you'll see. You'll see pretty quick on which one of those plays in there. I want to talk about Jack Caglione, not for individual experience, not what we saw down there. We'll get back to that in the noon hour. It was an awesome trip for those of you who didn't get a chance to go. I just want to talk about what he's doing on the field completely unrelated to this show and why it is time for him to go to AAA. We're there. We're good. It's time. Now, you'll be like, why? Is it just because you guys came back from Springfield? Admittedly.
Well, he's over 100 at-bats now, too. That's a big part of this.
The timing is incredibly suspect, and I am not trying to claim otherwise. But yes, the timing is suspect. He's over 100 at-bats in his last 14 games in AAA. Cags is hitting .431 with a .516 on-base percentage and a .1202 OPS. Three homers, four doubles, 13 Ks, and 9 walks. He's figured it out. This is his second such stretch in AA in which he's hit over 400 for a meaningful number.
He's dominating the
of
level
games.
Of talent in AA, it looks like.
So what I wanted to do, because I didn't want to just come at this with nothing, and I understand that there's a game difference here that's probably still going to make a difference. I know borderline for a fact that one of the gold standards of this guy dominated a level, ergo deserves a promotion inside the organization, has been and probably will continue to be Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon dominated AA. Don't you remember what the hype was, Gold? Look at this guy. He's unstoppable. He went straight to the big leagues. He didn't even play in AAA. Now, he did play 130 games in AA, and I do think that's important to note because Jack Caglione's played 27. But I'll give you the 130-game pace for Jack Caglione based on what he's currently hitting. They are shockingly similar. Alex Gordon hit .325. Cax is hitting .314. On base percentages within 20 points. Slug percentage is within 30 points, and OPS is with 40 points. I mean, we are talking really close. They're both on pace. He has 6 home runs, which would be 29 in 139 games. Gordon at 29. 39 doubles for Gordon, it'd be 29 for Jack Caglione. 101 RBIs for Alex Gordon, it'd be 130 for Jack Caglione, based on how many RBIs he already has. and they're about 20 strikeouts apart. Jack Caglione with about 20 more strikeouts for 130 game average. If Alex Gordon is the gold standard of I just dominated a level, what's the argument for Jack Caglione in AA? I am not trying to push him through to the bigs, and I don't know if you are.
No, I think he's ready to be in the AAA. I would say if you're asking for the reasons why he's not there yet, it's still that he's probably only played 7 or 8 games in right field.
Yeah, and 27 games total in AAA. Yeah,
and look, I understand he can do that in AAA and learn right field in AAA, but that would be part of it. And the strikeout number thing, you know, is interesting. Like, look, he's going to strike out. The question is, can he continue to improve to where it's not at the current pace? But if you're going to have the slug percentage that you're having, you can live with the strikeouts, and that's where you're at. But as J.J. Piccolo has said time and time again, including when he just joined us, you know, it is about we know certain things that he's going to do in the big leagues. Like, they're not worried about. Then there's other things.
Hit the ball
they
really
want to make sure that he is capable of being an all-around baseball player and that he doesn't ever have to get sent back down to work on one specific thing. And it helps, I'll be honest, I think where the last 2 weeks have been with the big league club. Not that he was going to go double A to big leagues, but the rush, the urgency is not the same level as what it might have been 3 weeks ago. If he was doing this exact same thing and the team was 8 games under 500 or something like that, and the fact that Drew Waters has played better in left field, right? The fact that the top of the order is playing better, all that contributes to it. But yeah, my guess is he will be in AAA very, very soon. And then we can start the clock on, all right, when is he potentially going to get to the big leagues? And by the way, he'll be in AAA for a while, I think, whenever that day comes. But yes, it is hard to argue that he, of course, like even if you got like a true, just flat out answer, do you think it would be like, I don't think anybody would be like, oh, you're crazy for thinking he should be in AAA. Not even the organization. It's just, do you think it's the right time? I don't think anybody would be like, oh, there's just clearly no way he's ready for AAA. I don't think they're even thinking that. It's just, is this the week for it? Or is it, well, 2 more weeks.
Like, I know he needs more reps in right field, but he can get those at either level. Like, sure. The reps in right field don't change.
As long as there's a spot.
I'll be honest, there is.
You know, exactly.
Because of how weak, because otherwise we'd have been talking about other players coming up to replace Hunter Renfroe and MJ Melendez if it was just this loaded, stacked who's who of AAA outfielders. No, it's Joey Weimer, who they just brought in on a minor league.
But that's
deal.
What I mean, though. They would still have to make Waters. Other yeah. moves, right? Like, whether the.
Yeah, there's not technically just an open spot. Yeah. They'd have to make a decision on a different player and to go in there. And for the guy who they just promoted, the earliest guy they've promoted this year, which is Peyton Wilson, who went from AA to AAA, he was hitting better overall. He was hitting .392 with a .500 on base percentage and all those things outside of it. But there is a part of me that watches Jack Caglione against some of this AA hitting, and I'm like, I wouldn't mind seeing him against some guys who are like been in the big leagues, 4A players, have more pitches. And this is always the challenge. In AA, typically the rule is, better talented pitchers, way more inconsistent. In AAA, less talented, know how to pitch. Know how to be a professional pitcher is a lot of times the notion between the two. Not that there's never any crossover or any of those things overall. Because if you look at his stats right now, again, .314, .395, .938 OPS, that's getting done. I still think it's a sample size thing. 27 games might not be enough for the Royals to make that call soon.
I think, though, now we've reached the point where it could happen at any day. To AAA.
I think so.
I'll stick with the original, like, even though JJ said there's not a date that they put on it, and I understand.
Is that date today?
I think Memorial Day weekend, as far as like that, I would be surprised if we get through Memorial Day weekend and he's not in AAA.
Barring some sort of massive slump over the next couple of weeks, I thought, I'll be honest,
but I'm
I thought
fine
there was
with
a
the
decent
pace.
Chance that today was a possibility.
Yeah, I'm fine
I think
with
next
the
week
pace,
is a possibility because they're at home in Omaha for the week.
Yeah, I think it's happening soon, but also I'm fine with the pace that they're going. There is no reason to rush anybody through the minor leagues right now. There's no reason whatsoever. It doesn't mean that you don't think he's going to be good or no. They're not going to rush any player, and with the way things are working out right now for everybody involved, I think even more reason for them not to do that. Whether that means a July big league call-up, whether it means next year. Also, let's see what he does in AAA. I mean, if he's dominating AAA, if he puts up the same numbers he has right now in AAA, well, then he's getting
gonna
called
get
up.
Before July 4th weekend.
He's going to get called up before August for sure. Otherwise, let's just see what happens.
The most here's another reason I would make the argument for the move to AAA. And I know that this is thinking really big picture, but it does matter for the Royals. The reason why you need him in AAA is that you need, in my opinion, a decision on Jack Caglione's readiness for the big leagues before the trade deadline. Because there is no reason to go out and spend valuable assets, acquiring a corner outfielder who can hit for minor league players that you like, if you have that option in-house.
Well,
if
I think they would still need another bat on top of just Jack's.
Maybe, but like, I don't want you trading for multiple. If Jack Caglione is a part of the solution, I think you want to know he's a part of the solution before you start wheeling and dealing. You have to make your decision on if Jack Caglione is a full-time member of the minor league development department for this year, or if he's a big league player this year by the trade deadline. And I think it's easier to make that assessment if you get him to multiple levels.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with the logic for sure. Like they will want to know if he's going to be part of like the added boost to the roster at some point later on in the year. I'm with you there. I don't think that means that they don't have to make another move, though, I guess is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I think they will
I'm
be
not saying,
too
off. It's not a zero trade, but his trade directly is impacted. The level of trade you trade for impacted by that.
And so many things are going to happen between now and July, middle of July. Injuries, most importantly, let's just be real. Like,
yeah, you know, can change the whole calculus and all this.
That can change everything if somebody significant were to go down at some point in time. That's just the reality of baseball, and it'll be something to watch. But nobody at this point, we've now reached to the amount of at bats in games and the numbers where could be any day now that he gets called to AAA, and nobody should be surprised. I know some of you wanted him called up, you know, 5 days into the minor league season, but like now is like, I think, a very well thought out. You know, like,
you've seen it. You got an idea. You know, what
like,
you got.
I think a well-reasoned decision now. If they were to do it, it would make ultimate sense.
In a weird way, like his recent hot streak again proves that he can. Like he went through a slump. Even in 27 games, he's gone through a slump. Mm-hmm. It did not impact any of it in any way. I mean, right after that, he just decided to hit 430 for the last 3 weeks in the minor league schedule. Pretty much 14 games, so. They play six a week, so almost 3 full weeks at the minor league level, hitting 431. I mean, yeah, it stands out. Look, now two of those home runs of the four I mentioned that he had just came in the last 2 games. He hit one, obviously, we were there on Saturday night, and hit another yesterday in the day game. So some of that's there, but, and I don't know who the pitcher who he hit the home run off of, we were told is a good prospect, and the radio call says that he's a two future big leaguers is the way he described it, so... Who he gets it off of still matters to the organization. I'm just fascinated because he's still only 22. Really, really, really young player.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
All right, this one is one of the crazier ones we've had over the last couple of weeks, at least. We go to the UK. So there was a gentleman, 26 years old, named James Brown. All right. And he now is serving a suspended prison sentence. And the reason for that, and there's photos to back this up, he has an obsession with firefighters, okay? A fascination with firefighters rather than fires. This is a real, this is not an Onion article, okay?
Are you sure?
Yes.
That's a weird start.
26-year-old James Brown has been described as having an obsession and fascination with firefighters rather than fires. In an ideal world, he would be a firefighter himself. Okay?
Why not?
On the evening of September 9th, this is an old article, but or an old story, but this is a new article. The fire brigade was sent to his home after the owner called emergency services to report a fire. He said the sparks were coming from the electricity meter and some of his bed linens in a cutboard had caught fire. This is the UK. Firefighters ended up putting out a small fire, disconnected the electricity supplies. Second time, firefighters had to once again put out the bedding that had caught on fire. Only when they asked the homeowner about the cause of the fire, he once again blamed the electricity meter. According to court records, he has filmed the firefighters as they rushed to put out the fire and seemed quite enthusiastic about their presence on his property. A simple background check showed that this dude called the fire department 80 times in the last year.
Oh, no,
he eventually
man.
Pleaded to two guilty counts of arson. It turns out he has been setting his own house on fire just because he idolizes firefighters.
Why not just become... Does it say why he can't become a firefighter?
Well, there might be... I mean, I don't want to make light of it, but maybe, just maybe, he isn't 100% there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's setting his own house on fire.
I mean, can't he just watch, like, Chicago Fire or whatever? Like,
he wants it in person.
I mean, there's, like, TV show. There's got to be a... I don't know of one, but, like... I assume there's a reality TV show about firefighters. Can't you just be into that? Or get on a police scanner and like watch him in action at fires that aren't started by you?
His lawyer said that he is extremely remorseful and is currently seeking help for his obsession with fire and firefighters. He has refrained from contacting the fire department since his arrest.
Well, at least that.
When was the story written?
I just closed the article.
Okay. I was going to say, I mean, if it's been a month.
2023 crimes.
Yeah, but the article was newer, yeah.
Yeah, because there was an update on his criminal case, like you said.
So he's obsessed. I mean, we've all heard stories where people are obsessed with fire, right? Like, I've never heard the.
Were you a firebug as a kid?
A firebug.
As in, like, you know, did you light stuff on fire? You shouldn't light on fire when you were a kid. We did a fair amount of hairspray with lighters.
No.
Turned into, like, flamethrowers. We did all.
Flamethrower? No, I didn't do that. I understand the concept.
Hey, kids.
Yes, I understand
don't
the concept.
Don't do this, but yeah,
I did not do that, yes.
We did quite a bit of that. Especially when I was like younger. I think I got out of that phase relatively quickly, but there was definitely some of that. I caught myself on fire on accident once.
When you say caught yourself on fire.
Did you light yourself thinking it was a game and that you actually set yourself on fire? Or
I didn't think I'd go up in flames the way it went. We were like near a campfire and I was like making jokey ha-ha. I thought this will be like a funny haha, and the fire. I had some like bubble blisters and stuff. I was on fire for. I'm sure it was like, whatever, third degree burns or first degree burns. I mean, it was pretty bad.
Dang,
it was pretty bad. I've still got some scars from it. So yeah, a little bit of that when I was.
I stayed away from fire.
You just avoid it.
Oh yeah, I was not. I didn't like. Well, again, fireworks are fine.
You shot off your first bottle rocket last summer, right?
Yeah, and I was low-key.
I played a lot of fireworks.
I love fireworks. Yeah.
I was, like, my nervous level was on, like, a 6.5.
For a bottle rocket?
I was like, man, I don't know about this. This
I used to hold those out of my
ways.
Hand and yeah, chuck them as they were getting ready to take off. Yeah. I've seen people shoot bottle rockets out of their ass. I have not done that. I want to make that clear.
Jeez.
But I have witnessed that take place. I don't know, man. We were a little more reckless with it. What can I say?
I guess so.
A little more reckless with it. Your first bottle rocket, you're at almost 30 years old. You fired your first bottle rocket last year. You're not proud of you. What about a Roman candle? You don't want one of those?
No.
Mortars? Nothing? No. Bottle rocket's the maximum for you.
Up until the bottle rocket, dead serious. The only thing that we did on the 4th of July.
It's poppers. Well, poppers.
those are like the sparklers, man.
Stakes will stain your concrete.
Those sparklers, though, you can get a little bit of trouble with those, man. You ever make a sparkler bomb?
Of course.
We've all done that.
Yes.
I didn't have a problem with that. That was the other thing we did for a while. My mom would bring home, every 4th of July for multiple years when she was working a certain job, she'd bring home these homemade M80s from this guy who'd make them in the fucking... I'm sorry.
Whoop!
I cussed.
No, I did. I pushed it.
Got a little comfortable there, Cody.
Got a little too comfortable.
A little comfortable. Stream, congratulations. Everybody on the stream gets to hear that.
He'd make them out of the backwoods. And like, dude, we blow up old TVs with them and all kinds of... I got two loose.
That was just a clear, slow... Like, it wasn't even like...
Go to break?
It wasn't... That was...
No, that's what the button's for.
That wasn't even just like a quick accidental, like, and you know,
that was just like
out.
I was speaking
just very
like I was
slowly
speaking.
Just dropped an F-bomb. No big deal.
That was a casual...
Yeah.
That was
like casual.
You got comfortable. You got very comfortable.
I got too comfortable talking about backwoods fireworks and all of a sudden we just got too loose. But yeah, we would like blow up old TVs and stuff with them, man. We get reckless. Reckless with them, Drew.
Yeah. That's the trash of the day.
So good.
It was so casual, I almost didn't even catch it.
I didn't catch it myself for a second. I was like, oh, did I just say that?
Well, if you're on the video stream, congrats.
You got it.
You get it. You get it. And the app.
That's
sometimes.
Why there's a delay, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right, up next, we'll get to the Chiefs right a half hour. Maybe. They might yank us off the air now. I don't know. How much credit do we still give to a redshirt season? And we found a potential camp darling already for the Chiefs.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Still here.
Well, the door did not open. Cody didn't get dragged out of the studio.
Maybe
so
he was in a meeting or something.
We're fine. Yeah, you did not get dragged out. You did not have to go meet with the boss immediately. The FCC didn't, you know, come in on helicopter and land in front of the building immediately. None of that happened.
I gotta be honest, it was like one of those curse words that when you use, you know, you cuss a lot in regular life. It was like the middle part of a, like three words together that sound like one word where the middle word is the cuss word.
We're
just rolling it all together.
Oh, very casual. Yeah, very casual. We'll get to what we think is the camp darling already, or will be the camp darling when we're up in St. Joe for the Chiefs based off of how people are discussing a certain player at rookie minicamp. And it'll be fun, but I think we've already found who that player is going to be. Plus, I got to give a shout out later on in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I know you guys on Friday, and I appreciate both of you, by the way, and Speck for letting me off last Friday because of the card situation. I have an update to the update, and I have to shout out one of the best postal worker employees.
Nice.
Okay.
That exists.
Right. There were some people earlier on the text line asking for the update who might have missed it. Some people got the update in person while we were down there in Springfield.
Yes, true.
But some of the listeners haven't heard it, so you got to give them an update on the Caitlin Clark card.
Yes, we will definitely do that. Text line 913-586-7965. People very disappointed in us.
Somebody said they went back and listened to it 10 times already. They're enjoying it, Cody, evidently.
Yeah.
Man, that's a tough one. You try not to. Uh-huh. Alex, I think, has only had one word he can't say in the entire time we've done the show. You had one once.
One or twice.
I think it was the S word on that one.
Maybe so.
The time we've done the show, I think just the one for you.
There was one time when I had it slip up. It happens.
The other time is I was sitting back in my chair and I was too comfortable with Ryan Witkowski. And I was sitting like this and I was like, right at the beginning of the show. First 25 seconds I let it
Someone says, how dumb am I? I didn't hear anything. Well, if you were listening on the radio, you didn't. That's a good thing, by the way. That's the idea of the dump button. We don't want you to hear it if you were in your car. You get the special privileges, I guess, on the app and YouTube stream. Anyway, let's talk some Chiefs football because this actually caught your attention over the weekend. It was former Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith. He was once again talking about something that, man, I don't know, these last 7 years has come up time and time again anytime young quarterbacks come in the league. And it's that idea of like, well, Patrick Mahomes sat for a year, so if our guy sits for a year, it's going to be great. And it got brought up in a new interview where Alex Smith was talking about, the development of Mahomes and how he took on that role and how, of course, Mahomes was a rookie backup during Smith's final season with the Chiefs. And it wasn't immediately apparent that Mahomes was ready to go. And the quote from Alex Smith was, it's hard when you're a backup quarterback. You're on the scout team. You don't get a lot of reps to shine. As quarterbacks in practice, we wear this bright yellow jersey. You're kind of untouchable. But there was no thing early on that he did that made you think, oh, he's got that or got it. That's kind of crazy. So it wasn't like that the minute he stepped on the field that Alex Smith said, he just had it.
He said, because it's hard to kind of make your name for it. And that is a really interesting way to put it. Because we know, like, in retrospect, Nagy and some of those guys would go back sometimes as it got later in the season. And they would gush a little bit. They'd be like, oh, my God, look at some of the stuff he's doing on the scout team. And some of the defensive players would be like, he's making a huge pain in our ass. Like, this is hard to work. And, like, these things are kind of a challenge. And so I do think that as the season went on, he started to shine. I am interested that Alex is just like, look, I don't have to tell you. And I think some of this is from his own experience. I think Alex Smith wishes he got to sit for a year with a capable head coach. And I don't blame him for this. Even more than this is being about Patrick Mahomes, I think Alex Smith's entire career is different. If he went to Andy Reid and he sat a year behind, let's just say McNabb. I don't think the timing worked out that way. He sat a year behind McNabb, and then he became the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles with Andy Reid as his head coach. I think his career looks different. In Mahomes' case, I have a harder time believing it. He's so good, Gold. Like, it's like Tom Brady being so good. Tom Brady would have still done excellent things in the NFL even if he hadn't ended up as a Patriot. He's too good. He's too great. He'd have been great no matter where he went. But I don't think the one year hurt Mahomes either, because it did give him some time coming out of the air raid, coming into the NFL. It did not like slow his development or anything like that.
Like, I know it's easy for us to sit here and say, oh, he would have put up the same type of rookie numbers as some of these guys. I mean, we just saw Jayden Daniels do what he did. And the year before was CJ Stroud. Maybe Mahomes would have done that. And I think most people would say, oh, he would have, because we now know what he is. I don't know, right? Maybe he just would have had an average rookie season. I find that hard to believe, and I get why we all think that, but who knows? Absolutely, he benefited from sitting, but I think we have seen as time has gone on. And if you are, look at last year, Jayden Daniels started right away.
There's a lot of quarterbacks.
Caleb Williams started right away. Drake May did not. They had Jacoby Brissett for a couple years. Michael Penix obviously sat for the first 2 months or whatever it is of the season. This year, we all think Cam Ward's going to start immediately, Jackson Dart's not going to start week one. So some of it is based off the draft class. I mean, if you're a top five pick, again, there was the exception of Drake May. Most times you're playing week one. Coaching staffs, front offices aren't patient. They're just not. They can't be almost, right? Because in the NFL, because of the nature of it's expected you win right away. You don't have 4 years to develop a guy. You just don't.
No.
Let alone two.
But don't we agree that, like, of all the guys who will make a start this year, and how many do we think will start the year? Just Cam Ward?
Week one, just Cam Ward.
Week one, Cam Ward.
Unless you tell me that you know,
other than him,
Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco both got hurt in training
camp. We could admit that every single quarterback, I believe, including Cam Ward this year, would benefit if they had a guy like Alex Smith starting for the entire
sure.
year, and they got to just go to meetings, study the stuff, run scout team, do all of it. Like, I do think that there is, and I think that this is the broader point of the NFL, and other quarterbacks have made this point. I think Chase Daniel recently has made this point. There's no easy way to develop a quarterback in the NFL. Because even to Alex Smith's point, it's not like you get a bunch of snaps. You don't get a bunch of the throws. We got to win. We got to win right now. We can't just... Developing you is hard. That's why they don't sit him. How the hell do I get this guy up to speed while also trying to win with the quarterback and the players who I've told to commit to us and listen to us and everything else in between? I'm borderline blown away that Andy Reid was able to do these two things at the exact same time. He was able to bring Patrick Mahomes along while actively winning in the NFL, and the team was all the way bought in. That's the bigger challenge for me. This becomes like a coaching thing. It becomes a very big challenge coaching thing. But yeah, you also have to have the quarterback like Alex Smith willing.
Yeah, not everybody's going
to
do that. And I get it. It's a tough spot to be in. If you're a veteran starter and you know that you're about to get replaced, that's a really tough spot to be in. We know there's some quarterbacks that have been more willing to do that. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it does take a perfect storm, the right coach, the right veteran quarterback that is willing to truly understand his role now and moving forward, that he's going to be the guy that's going to hand it off to the franchise quarterback. Yeah. And think about it, that's a tough spot to be in. You've been the dude making all this money, yes, but still you have an ego to a certain extent, and you also have been working your ass off for years, and then you know that somebody behind you is going to take your job soon. Oh, and they want you to help that person. That's a really tough spot to be in. So I don't always fault some of the quarterbacks that don't do it. Now, I praise the ones that are willing to do it. I think they deserve a ton of credit. Alex Smith is one of them. But I actually don't like have a huge issue with Joe Flacco or Aaron Rodgers saying that I'm not going to help the quarterback. I really don't. I think we should give credit to the ones that are willing to do it, if that makes sense.
816 is because we traded up a year early. Teams take too long to take swings in the draft. That's part of the problem. No doubt about it. I mean, there is part of it where a lot of times you don't realize it's a problem until it's a problem. And that's a whole nother part of this question. And that's where, like, you're running into this if you're Alex Smith, or you're running into this if you're Mahomes and these organizations. There's a lot of teams also that just try to, like, survive. It's better than that than be the worst team in the league.
When the Chiefs made that move to get Mahomes, where were they originally picking in the draft? Or was it at, forgive me if I don't remember, but was it 10? Is that where they ended up getting him? Mahomes?
Yeah, 10.
That was where they were originally picking. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
Okay. No. They traded up.
Well, okay. So
Chiefs took him at 10. They traded with the Bills.
Do you know where they were at when they traded up?
Because 23-4. I don't remember the exact.
So number now. I mean, it was a substantial jump. I mean, there's, because it's not one of the things in terms like winning and also getting the right quarterback and having the right coach. Like the Steelers took Kenny Pickett. I can't
27th.
Remember.
27th.
Like, okay, I mean, hefty jump. So, because the Steelers took Kenny Pickett, I think, 18-ish or 19-ish. They didn't move up to get him. They just took him there. Where I wonder if it's not just one or two things that have to go correct, right? I mean, it's three or four different things.
Yeah.
Where you got to have the quarterback, you got to have the coach, you have to have the assets to trade up and get the guy in the first place. Because if they sat at 27 and waited, Mahomes probably isn't there at that point, you know? So I think there's a lot of different things that have to fall together, because we haven't heard too many stories like maybe Rodgers and Jordan Love, but again, Jordan Love hasn't been exactly what they were wanting him
to be.
He's been really good. There aren't too many stories of guys that are coming in, sit out, and then end up having substantial success.
Meanwhile, we know this weekend Andy Reid spoke because the Chiefs had rookie mini camp, and we found out what I believe will be this year's camp darling. Already early.
I think
it's early draw.
I think we have identified
for
him.
Cam Darling. Right. His name is Jake Brenningstuhl. I looked up the pronunciation.
Brenningstuhl.
Because
Clemson,
I wasn't sure if it was Brenningstuhl. Brenningstuhl, it appears. Jake Brenningstuhl out of Clemson, the tight end.
Yep. And Andy Reid specifically called him up because he was getting offers as a priority or whatever they call it, free agent. And undrafted free agent. And I guess Andy Reid was the only coach that actually called him. That helped seal the deal. Smart on the Chiefs part, by the way. Good for them. And now already, I think we're gonna see this is going to be the player based on social media, based on the past, Justin Ross, Jody Fortson stuff, because he's very athletic. Drew, you said you think he's very similar to Jared Wiley, actually, who we know they liked before the injury. And I'm not saying they don't like him, but
they had almost the exact same senior. It's interesting. So if you look at their measurables, Jared Wiley, 6'7", 250. Brendan Stuhl 6'6", 215, according to Sports Reference.
A little lighter.
He's a little bit lighter.
Sir, I think
playing the slot, maybe. I don't know.
The reason why, other than just social media, the other reason why, Cody, he's going to be the name at camp is because people are going to text in July and August and say, Andy Reid called him, so you know, like, they're going to be, that's,
you know,
gonna,
he loves him.
You know he loves him because he called him up and convinced him to come to Kansas City, so he's a future star.
For my guess, though, Andy probably doesn't call a lot of undrafted free agents.
Probably not. Probably
so he must
not.
Have liked this guy, but Andy didn't like him enough to convince him to draft him.
Yeah, clearly they like him, obviously, but again, reason, expectations,
That doesn't mean he's getting significant PT his rookie season.
It doesn't mean he's making the team.
Reason why he's going to be,
who knows? Like, I don't know. Maybe he will. We'll find out when we get to camp. But this is going to be a name that I think we hear a ton about throughout camp.
Here's why. He possesses one very similar quality to all the other camp darlings from the last few years. And that is, he is a high point the ball, contested catch, big bodied guy.
Fun social media clips.
People dream. And this is the only thing I'll say is, the Chiefs actually do try for players like this, but they've never actually successfully executed or tried hard enough to do it, or not good at doing it. The Chiefs like the idea of a big-bodied red zone guy that they just throw jump balls to in the end zone. And it's clear that they like that because of guys like Justin Ross and Jared Wiley and now Brennan Stuhl and Jody Fortson. And Fortson, they're actually a little bit better by getting him the ball in the end zone or near the end zone.
He just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah,
his body failed.
They obviously like the idea, but it's always just like some dude. It's always just like the undrafted free agent. Like, they just go look for some basketball player. And so, reportedly, this weekend,
of course,
at rookie minicamp, he made two of such catches down the field where he went up while guarded and snagged the ball.
Yeah, which is great.
That's why it's going to happen.
I hope he has a great camp and of St. Joe and all that, but just, I think it's easy. This will be the player. There will be a highlighter too, and so on social media, and because it'll look good, people just, honestly, unfairly even to him, people will put like ridiculous expectations on what they think he can be. We'll find out if he can even make the team. Free agent.
I mean, because this is how I know. I already saw somebody be like, maybe they found their Kelsey replacement. I mean, I don't know, guys.
See, that's what we're talking about right there. Like, that's what we're talking about.
You can't say
by the way,
that.
By the way, I hope they did. I hope they did.
Please.
That would be incredible. But because somebody has a couple catches in rookie minicamp, you know, we go nuts.
Somebody on the text line earlier when this first briefly came up,
mm-hmm.
somebody said Justin Ross will still be good. They're trying to manifest it, you know?
Yeah, he is still part of the...
Nico Remigio.
Yeah, at least Nico did something last year, though. Like, Nico Remigio at least did something.
In terms of return game stuff.
Yeah, he was a factor.
It's a crowded room. I will say it's a very, because Jalen Royals is also.
That's what you want.
People are talking about him looking like Jamar Chase.
Nobody should just be given a spot on the back end there just because that's what, you know, because you were drafted 3 years ago or something like that.
It's also a crowded tight end room, huh? Five guys in there with Tonyan and Wiley.
Tonyan
was
washing.
Kelsey.
And Wiley, his ACL was in November. I can smell a pup list a mile away. They'll protect themselves on a pup list.
They'll buy themselves some time.
Is Peyton Hendershot still
around? No, I believe he signed somewhere else this offseason.
Okay.
I think that's right.
They've been trying, I think, to carry four tight ends for a while. It seems like they're always trying to get four tight ends. They just never have four they like. But they're not. I don't think
they're
anti. Is
that how many they had last year, like during the run in the playoffs?
Okay, I don't think they're anti having four tight ends on there. But
yeah, the Chiefs released him right after post draft cut. Hendershot.
Damn.
They cut. That's from this article that I can.
I'll always remember those five catches. Mm-hmm.
I'll remember the sideline interaction mm-hmm. that he had with a member of an opposing team.
They basically replaced him with Brennan Stuhl. Then I guess right. I mean, in terms of the roster construction.
I guess. Yeah.
It is.
But Brennan Stuhl's a rookie minicamp. He's just got to, like, make it to St. Joe. All these guys won't even make it to St. Joe.
There's like 60 or 80 of these guys at minicamp. They're not bringing 80 plus what they already have.
I'm sure this is with every single fan base, but is this, because last year it came up, obviously, you know, with Justin Ross and others who have in LRZ. But where people, they fall in love with one or two plays from a guy, or they see his numbers in college and they think that it'll translate to the NFL. Is that because there's guys that were undrafted, very good college players, but it's just not going to happen for them at the NFL. Is that, I'm sure other fan bases are similar in that way where they fall in love with the guy.
Every fan base has the camp darling. That's not unique to Kansas City for sure. Someone said the Hendershot caught a touchdown in the USFL yesterday. I think, for Birmingham.
Good for staying him. In shape.
Might as well. We'll go play there and then see if he'll get a training camp invite somewhere else after the U.S. Someone says LRZ. Yeah, we talked about LRZ earlier. Last year, he was part of that mix, but Justin Ross was even still bigger than that. But LRZ was definitely the intrigue. The LRZ thing got crazy because the team even was talking about how unique they're going to have these kickoffs, and they had these special plans and all this, and then
he's going on dates with supermodels. Oh, he went to Worlds of Fun.
We never got to ask him about that. We wanted to have him at camp. We never got that opportunity, you know? We requested LRZ for the show. They never gave us LRZ.
Real missed opportunity, you know?
Well, yep.
Disappointed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For those who want to know, can you give people an update on where things are with the Caitlin Clark card? If you missed it last week.
I heard you guys gave an update on Friday.
Somebody we tried to give a little bit of
somebody,
one, yes.
Somebody said that you read my text or something on the air Friday. So the card, the Caitlin Clark rookie card, finally showed up on Friday. I had to work a little bit for it, though. And this is where I want to shout out somebody, because it finally said after no shipping update from Wednesday at 4 a.m. till Friday at 6:30 a.m. I was starting to freak out. Like, where's this card? No scan. It could be anywhere. Friday.
A bunch of postal service workers said,
"Yeah,
don't trust the scan."
Friday at 6:30 said, out for delivery. I'm like, huh, finally. So you guys know I took off work because I needed to sign for it. Mail shows up like 10:15, 10:30. It's not in there. Other package or other mail. No card. I'm like, oh boy. So then I hop back on the tracking. And it says it's not out for delivery, doesn't say when it's expected, and it's scanned back at the post office, which it happened to be at the one right down the street from us, this Mission office.
Right here.
This is like a service and distribution center or whatever.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm going out of town on Saturday, next week I'm going to California. I'm like, I got to get this thing, otherwise it's not going to show up until Monday or Tuesday. So I drive up there. Drew's like, you should drive up there. I'm like, that's a good idea. So I go up to this location, waiting in line, and I go up to the counter, and I got lucky because, you know, it's like next person up. I know that I was asking them to go and look for the card. And there was one lady that clearly was not going to do that for me.
Just based on previous interactions with other customers?
Yeah. And she was a little bit older, and she was moving very slow, and she was not going to be able to walk very well. Like she was struggling to walk.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, she's sure as heck not going to go back there and dig around for a package for me. Luckily, I get someone that just started their shift.
Wow, right.
Just started her shift.
Still a good mood. And I said,
please, I go, I might be asking you for a miracle here, but it says that there's a package here. It was out for delivery. She's like, what's the address? Yada, yada. She's like, well, I think it's going to go back to the regional facility at 1:00. And I'm like, oh no. And it's like 11:30 at this point. She's like, I go, look, it's going to take me a while, but I can look. And I go, oh my gosh, that'd be incredible. And I'm thinking, this is a long shot still. She took 10 minutes. So she looked.
So she really
did. She comes back
in
10 minutes. I see her come around the corner and she's holding this padded envelope. And I'm like, you found it? She goes, uh-huh.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. And I'm like, you're amazing. I'm like, what's your name? She goes, Danielle. And I go, Danielle, thank you so much. So shout out to Danielle, USPS Employee of the Year.
Damn, she went back there for 10 minutes.
She dug around.
I can't believe you didn't get told kick rocks.
Yeah. So she was amazing. She got the card. She didn't know it was the card, but she got the package. I go home. I open it. The card's great. You guys probably saw the video or photo, and it is on its way now, FedEx overnight, to the auction house.
Has it made it to the auction house yet?
Not yet.
No. Oh, overnight is in like you sent it today?
Today, yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because it was going to sit all weekend, and so I was told not to send it on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you owned it for 48 glorious hours, huh?
Yep. I held it. I had one last look at it before this morning, and now it's gone, and it hopefully will bring back lots of cash in the future.
Yeah.
And hopefully it grades out well. Again, a minimum of a 9. Obviously, would love a Jim Mint 10, because as you guys know, that means the dollar amount goes from, you know, possibly 10,000 to maybe up to 20 or something.
Yeah.
So,
what's the time frame?
On the grade?
On the grade? On the grade.
I think it could
now that we're officially on watch.
It might be at least, it might be 2 weeks from now or something before I know what it grades, if not more. It's supposed to be in the June auction.
Okay. Yeah. So you're hoping to get, God, but it could be 2 weeks.
But she was great. I know they get, I'm sure that job can stink a lot of times, but I caught her at the right time. I don't know, but she was amazing. So thank you, Danielle, at the Mission USPS office.
Did she say what would have happened if
she was going to go back to the regional plant at 1, which would have got redistributed? It probably would have sat there all weekend. Maybe it would have been delivered today or tomorrow, and I was me out of town, so saved me a lot. Yeah,
that would have been a whole bigger problem.
Man. I felt like I should have gone and brought her lunch or something. You know,
you still can. She works 5 seconds from here.
Yeah,
you can just thank her monetarily. You know,
yeah. So maybe that was like great. A 20. She didn't have to do that. I'm sure very easy. She could have lied. She could have been like, yeah, I can't look, or she could have looked for 2 seconds. Nope, she went and found it. So
she probably
you.
Would just prefer to do that than to deal with whatever customer was.
I wondered that too. I was like, maybe she's like, oh, I can go do this for 10 minutes instead of dealing with this long line of people. I don't know.
How long was the line? You're holding up the line for 10 minutes?
Well, there were 3 people. But yes, I was.
Jeez.
But there were 2 other people working. I just happened to get the right. I'm convinced if it was any of the other 2 postal workers, I would have been SOL.
Danielle's the only one who was going to help you.
Employee of the year.
Convinced.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
I do think, get her some lunch, something like that.
Maybe so. All right, guys, up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll talk more about the offensive explosion from the Royals and another update from our Cody and Gold road trip that resulted in someone almost getting kicked out of a bar and Cody singing karaoke at 1:15 in the morning. That's next.